Good afternoon, everyone. It's Dr. Nigro again, our next episode of Psychology Unplugged. Thank you to all of our followers, both here in the United States and internationally. Enjoyed doing this and bringing this podcast to you guys on a weekly basis. I appreciate all of your feedback and comments and suggestions. And it does feel like a collective journey, and it does mean a lot when you guys respond with a text or an email or a phone call thanking us, and that you feel a sense of hope, which there definitely is in mental health. And I think that's something that is missing and not conveyed enough, without, taking away the seriousness of, certain psychiatric conditions or just the vast majority of mental health conditions. But I certainly appreciate all that you guys have contributed to this journey that I started a few years ago, thanks to my father. I've done a lot of topics over the last few weeks that were more clinically based, and I kind of go back and forth. And as I've mentioned at various points, as this podcast has grown in number of people who follow us, I do kind of vacillate between, clinical issues, existential issues, and then sometimes just practical things that we are all confronted with on a daily basis that I think beg discussion and alternative viewpoints, because a lot of us, we are not immune to life, and the world does not stop for our problems, even though I think at different points of our lives we believe that it should, and that we believe that we are entitled to have the world stop. And especially if you're in the midst of a psychiatric crisis, it can seem very daunting and very lonely, and I appreciate that. What we put out every week has had a positive impact on all of our listeners. So today, Julie and I were talking. I was going to talk about neurosic valves because people have asked me a lot of different questions. I just kind of redirected them back, although I'm to other episodes. But I'm sure I'll revisit those topics again, because this is a ever evolving field, and there's no paucity of topics to discuss. But we're going to talk today about technology and mental health, and that seems like a broad topic, but is in my role as a neuropsychologist and doing diagnostics, I have seen the deleterious effects that technology, and I'm talking even beyond just social media, has had on mental health. And this could range from people spending an inordinate amount of time looking up different symptoms and going on Google and self-diagnosing, which is something that you should never do. And online tests, do not take them. They have very little validity, and people will come in sometimes saying, I think I have autism, I think I have this, I took this test, I have bipolar, and I have no interest even looking at those because the tests that I use and we use are norm-based, and they're standardized, and they have reliability and validity. But technology in and of itself is – here's the irony. I'm using technology to do this podcast, to be able to reach a worldwide audience. So to say that technology is bad, I think, is a misconception. I did an episode about social media maybe a year or two ago where I called it anti-social media, because I think, and I really focus on just the negative impacts that social media has, especially in adolescence and children. For those of you who don't know, the brain doesn't stop developing until you're about 23 years old. And the amount of information that is coming in through different mediums of technology, whether that be television, radio, the computer, especially in an environment now where there is definitely an uptick in remote learning, You know, a lot of online college programs, the amount of online learning that took place for those who actually participated during the pandemic, and the amount of online time that people are spending who are working remotely from home. And, you know, you talk about, you know, blue light and an increase in headaches and FaceTime and depending, you know, for sitting extended periods of time. I think technology has really resulted in a lot of people living a much more sedentary life. And, but, you know, I'm kind of going back and forth, but, you know, technology is great when I'm doing the Peloton. I can pop on and do a class anytime, and it may be live or may not be live. And, you know, I think as with anything in our world, you know, the old saying, everything in moderation. But what I've seen from an adolescent population, the amount of information that are coming in, that is coming in to a specific part of the brain called the orbital prefrontal cortex, and I've mentioned this in other episodes, that is such a crucial part of the brain. And I remember from my training that was considered or relegated to be, that is the seat of mental illness. That is the seat of mental health. That orbital prefrontal cortex is such a crucial part, along with other structures like the amygdala and the hippocampus. These are essential structures, and technology, it does cut both ways. And I've referenced this quote from Jurassic Park, and I'm not sure who's the quote was.
Sorry.
Guess who's here? Julie, and she has a lot to add with this. You know, I guess it was Jeff Goldblum said it, but apparently it was Einstein said, just because we could doesn't mean we should. And I think, you know, Hollywood alluded to this at different points when they, again, this is Hollywood, it is fictionalized, but if you know, back with the old movie War Games with Matthew Broderick, with Terminator Judgment Day, you know, this with this ChatGPT and artificial intelligence, that, yeah, this stuff is cool, but, you know, I think it's also resulted in a stunting of ability to initiate conversation, an ability to, you know, communicate with people, communicate with the world. And it also, you can see the toxicity of it when, you know, from the perspective I'm coming from is also social media and the amount of cyberbullying that's going on. And the old adage, well, if it's on the internet, it must be true. I mean, technology is great, but, you know, perfect example is I'm being a total hypocrite here. The research shows technology, 90 minutes prior to bedtime, nothing should be put out. No television, no phones, no, just body, you know. We've done an episode on sleep, and that's really an area that's really under-focused in mental health. But, you know, we're watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, or I'm watching Springsteen videos on YouTube. Like it was last night, I was watching the Springsteen video of this recent concert in Las Vegas, and I look, it's like, all right, go to bed and shut the, you know, so... Yes, I may write this in my neuropsych evals and tell this to people, but it's something that I don't practice myself and something I need to become better at. But, you know, the other flip side with technology is people can become completely immersed in a very synthetic world, whether that's social media, whether that is, you know, getting, you know, being obsessed with, you know, 2023andMe or Ancestry.com. And again, this is kind of the yin and yang where it's like, yeah, there's benefits, but, you know, there's also things that could be incredibly negative, you know, hatred and you know, my issue is I think, you know, I remember talking with some people in our town about, you know, the concept of why the need for students, at least here in the United States, why do they have to take their iPhones or smartphones to school? And that's where a lot of that bullying goes on. Yes, there may be a calculator on the phone. I remember using you can still get a Texas Instrument, you know, smart calculator or scientific calculator. A lot of parents will say, well, what if there's a school shooting? And yes, there is a reality to that. Absolutely. The flip side is, you know, what about why can't Apple, I'm here, I'm giving you a free idea. Why can't Apple make a phone that simply calls 911 and a parent? Why does it, why do what the schools did, I think, is fundamentally wrong, is they gave kids Chromebooks and iPads and computers, and they gave them access to the world, you know. And I, as you know, I'm a huge Springsteen fan, and in his song growing up, he said, "I found the keys to the universe, the engine of an old parked car." The kids have now found the keys to the universe with no direction, and it runs rampant. You know, from sexting to cyberbullying to stealing their parents' credit cards and getting onto their Amazon accounts. Yeah, I love Amazon and I benefit from that. And I think there are benefits to it. But technology in and of itself is our quest to constantly create. It basically comes down to this. When you put human against Mother Nature, Mother Nature always wins. And I think that's the trajectory that we're on. And I know Julie wanted to had some. This was actually her topic to talk about. So,
yeah. Hi, everyone. I just wanted to something. I wanted to share with you. I will after I share this bit of information. I follow certain people on Instagram. I have fallen prey to Instagram myself. I can only imagine what it's doing to young children. I'm a grown woman and it does affect me, I've realized. And I'll share that in a minute. But there is a book out. There's actually two books out. One is The Anxious Generation and the other one is The Terrible Cost of Phone-Based Childhood. And it's both are written by Jonathan Haidt, Haidt. And the reason why I share that with you is that they're trying to do a movement where they're mostly focusing on the Gen Z population, which have a higher suicide rate, higher depression, anxiety rate right now. Gen Z's being anyone born after 1996. You know, the behaviors, the technology, but I think it's replacing what matters. So if you're thinking about, you know, let's say you're raising a child nowadays, I would be wanting my child to have a certain amount of imagination and creativity. Kids are now spending 5, 6 to 9 hours a day, depending on who they are, on Instagram, on social media. And so people are interacting less. This is what happened with Facebook, right? Everyone's, you know, friends. And it's a great way to keep in touch. It cuts both ways, right? So you can keep in touch with people. I can get access information like this, these two books, which I have not read yet, but I've read about them. I've listened to him speak. He's been on Joe Rogan. They have a movement in DC right now to stop the use of cell phones in public school systems. Which I think is a great idea, as long as people can access their parents, I think is the most, or their caregivers. That is the most, I think that is definitely something, you know, I have a fever, you go to the nurse. In the old days, you know, I'm kind of on the precipice of being a boomer. So I grew up very differently and I saw this amazing, post. I think it was probably reposted by Jesse Seinfeld. And she's very focused on mental health, and she's become quite the philanthropist. But she posted, nowadays, how do you know where your kids are? Well, their phone, GPS on their phone. You can track anybody who's close to you. As long as you have their access, you can find them. In the 80s, in the 70s and the 80s, there was an image that she posted was, here's how you know where your kids are. You see a pile of bikes out in front of so-and-so's house down the street. I remember, and I'm grateful for the childhood that I had because I wasn't fully booked with, you know, activities. Probably I could have been more, you know, interested in activities, but I wasn't really exposed to a lot of that. That's okay. But we had neighborhoods and we would be outside playing. I didn't have a lot of TV time. We weren't allowed. You know, you have an hour and then you're out. If it's nice weather, you're out after dinner. If it's spring and summer, you're out until the streetlights come on. And There's something to be said for, like, I know this sounds silly, but I remember when my parents bought a new refrigerator, anybody bought in the neighborhood who bought an appliance, that box was right out ready to go being picked up by the dump, by the dump truck, right? We would always take those boxes and transform them into like little clubhouses and like just used our imagination. And I see, you know, in people who are close to me, the access to the phones. And I'm not going to go into detail about it, but I've seen this. I've heard about this with clients. I have clients whose kids are mesmerized by this. And the problem is that it's addictive. I am going out on a limb here as a very vulnerable person because I have been very, I've been advocating for the safety of wild horses. And I, although I know it's truly happening, it's when you start to really get consumed by it, and you're feeling helpless. So for me, the first reaction was, okay, I got to donate money. But at the end of the day, we're donating money, and we did do, you know, some nice things to promote the awareness in the country, by giving to Ashley Avis, who actually made the documentary. And, you know, for a couple of rescue leagues, sanctuaries, we donate. But that's not the problem. The problem is the government. The problem is way bigger than I can. So how helpless do I feel? It affected my sleep. It affected my mood. My heart was heavy. It still is, but it's stuff. I'm an adult. I'm a grown adult. So I feel, you know, I'm fairly educated. I've been around the world to some degree. I've had many different roles, careers, and I'm a mother, and now I'm a grandmother. And so I wear all these hats. And yet, you know, I'm an intelligent person, yet I get sucked into the vortex too. I needed to feel that in order to have a better understanding of it and want to speak about this. And then when I stumbled upon this guy's work, I think it's such important work that we need to spread the word and create awareness. It's available to you. It just, I think they just, it's on Amazon, both of these books, or you know, whatever you want to listen to the books or whatever, but it's kind of all about how damaging it is to specifically females, but not just females, more toward females. You know, we could be here all day criticizing so-and-so for posting so-and-so and all this and like the Kardashians and like, my God, I don't know where even to begin with that. But, you know, body images and the false reality. And I think, you know, we get sucked into anything that it matters to us or something that taps into our soul and our heart. And the wild horses broke my heart. I mean, that was part of how I, when, you know, October 7th, 2023, I was mesmerized by it. Just like, you know, back in the day, O.J. Simpson, I'm blurting out things, but people became obsessed with this stuff. And that was on the news. That wasn't even on social media. So I grew up without social media, and I'm grateful for that. I look at my, you know, grandkids, and I say to myself, oh, my God, I hope the pendulum swings, because we need to get back to the bicycles in the front yard. We need to get back to use your imagination. Stop using it. And people need to take dopamine breaks. People can't focus. They're tapped out on social media. They can't function in real life. And also, how much false information is out there? I mean, you know, the one person does a TikTok. It's about this is dangerous for this. And no, you can't do that. And you got to stop drinking this. And you got to stop. And you know, you can't have this. And no, that causes cancer. And this, oh no, wait a minute. No, it doesn't. And you can see it vacillate. You can see people like kind of going, and these, who are these people making TikToks? Seriously, they're just people random. This all started during the pandemic out of boredom. We got nothing else to do, so we might as well remember the TikToks during, that's how it started. And now people are, I think, sharing amazing information, right? I mean, there are people out there doing good. I say, be mindful of how much time you're spending on Instagram. Check your kids' Instagram page. Follow, like, see who they search. See who they're following. It's very easy to click on that and find that out.
Or so even just tracking, not to interrupt, but
yeah.
If you have an iPhone, the iPhone will actually track how much time you spend on different sites and the internet, and I think they put that in to help you become more mindful.
But I think we're right at this precipice where you take someone's iPhone away who's used to it, and it's punishment. And I'm talking about creating the next generation of without it, just without cell phones. Because parents are preoccupied on their cell phones. The kids are seeing this. Dr. Gabor was talking about that as well. He's like, do not look at your phone in the presence of your child. And how many people check their emails? You know, I mean, I look at that like time is precious. Again, the society, which seems to be not just the United States, we want it yesterday society. I want it now. I don't have a lot of, what do you call it? The tolerance, what is it?
Distress tolerance?
No, not distress tolerance. When you have to wait for something.
Patience?
No. You know what I'm talking about. All right. Well, patience, but delayed gratification.
Oh.
Okay. We are not a culture that has anything to do with delayed gratification. Buddhists have mastered delayed gratification. So it's like, but there's information out there too. You know, there are people, the Buddhists are now, you know, posting things. People are posting healthy things, you know, things you can do, exercise, moving, all these good things. But there's just so much trash. And I am 100% have experienced being affected by that. So much so that I would wake up in the middle of the night if my phone vibrated because I thought, oh God, I'm getting a new message or someone's DM'd me or someone's getting back to me about these wild horses. I know it sounds, I was starting to feel insane. Not in a bad way. I mean, just like it was consuming me. And this is when I work with my clients. It's like when something really is consuming you on a regular basis, that's sometimes when people need medication. Having said all that, you know, one thread leads to another thread, and then leads to another thread. I was getting into these necessary to watch videos about certain topics, but also extremely disturbing about animals being treated horribly. I could go on and on, but that the visual, you can't unsee it. You cannot unsee it. That's the part that's so, you know, baffling to me. It's like people are addicted to this. It's an addiction.
Well, I think that's when it becomes problematic. I mean, to eradicate technology is not something that's going to happen. But I think it starts with, like you said about the guy, you know, modeling behavior. And we've done it in our own home where we got Julie's kids are over and, you know, we're all on our phones. So we are.
We're guilty of it.
But it's being mindful of it. We're just kind of this episode coming from the perspective that mental health can definitely be affected not just by social media but just by technology.
Yeah.
And then not just the amount of information coming in terms of information, but what information is coming in, and then what did you question? Is this true? What do I believe? And that leads to a whole host of other problems.
And then when you get what you want, right, you're looking, you get what you want. Is it really what you want? Because once you get what you want, you know, it's not satisfying. It's not fulfilling. It's not soulful. It's not from your heart. And like I said, like Cor said, it cuts both ways. And this is by no means a lecture. This is just me. I wanted to share with everyone who's listening that I have fallen prey to it. I felt a very strong draw to it. I know now that if I do not look at social media, I have a much better day and I sleep a lot better at night. And I also know that it does give access to things where, you know, I can sign a petition to help with things that I care about, you know, and that's something that's just me, but everyone's different and everyone has their own lane and what they care about and how they, how they interpret, how what drives them to social media, what they get out of social media. These are all questions to really, how is this affecting me in the structure of my day, in the structure of my life? How can it be helpful? How is it harmful?
But I think even in terms of like family dynamics, I remember when Blockbuster was open. I think in high school, I worked at a video store, and you couldn't wait until the new video came out. And there was like a family component to it where you would go, yeah. You would look forward to it, and it would be.
And they wouldn't be, sometimes they were out, and you'd have to wait.
Yeah, and you'd wait, and you'd have to, you know, please be kind, rewind. And
yeah.
Again, we're both not that old, but have a reference point of it was different. I remember it was a family experience, and you would see families in Blockbuster. I think there is still one Blockbuster. I think it might be in California. But that you would rent the movies, and you would watch as a family. And now everything is so compartmentalized and so immediate that everything's on demand, and we'll talk, oh, did you see? Oh, I saw the movie last week. And so I think that also has impacted the infrastructure of families and people just also being inundated and living in a very synthetic world. And I do think there should be a lot of skepticism with what you know, you read online, and, you know, not take everything at face value for what you read on the internet, but technology is such a broad topic, and again, we benefit from it. You know, from the GPSs in our car to Sirius XM, where I can listen to Springsteen 24 hours a day. So there are many benefits of it, but I think as we kind of realize what are the parts of it that are impacting mental health. And I look at it from the amount of information that's coming in, especially in the developing brain, to back to Julie's point with the horses, and I fully support her passion with it. But I saw the impact. I would see it in my patients because I'm asking questions. But I saw this. I would come home from work, and you know, as lovingly and gently, be like, Julie, you've got to stop. This is impacting you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tearing her apart in her soul. And so I saw this not as a professional, but as a husband to see this. So this is real stuff. And like Julie said, I can only imagine what
it felt like. Anguish.
Helplessness.
And helplessness.
That's how you felt. It was helpless.
And I also think, like, David Bowie spoke a lot about this back in the day. Like, he is just, he's an icon. Obviously iconic. Prince spoke about this, you know, back in the day when the MP3 players and then people were downloading music. You know, when I grew up, I had to wait till Christmas or a birthday or a holiday to get an album. I grew up with records, and we were so excited to get these records. And inside the record was obviously the record. You listen to the record, but the lyrics, and you got to read the lyrics. I mean, this was treasure for me. And, you know, and it, like Disney, I mean, Disney movies were dropped every 7 years, 4 to 7 years. And it would be like the movies, like the classics, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, Aristocats, 101 Dalmatians, Bambi, whatever, Dumbo. But they were all, you couldn't get your hands on them. And I remember when my daughter was born, that was when Disney, let everybody purchase the movies. So what did I do? I ran out and I bought every single one of them. And I watched them consistently. I loved it. It was like such an amazing experience. But at the same time, it lost its specialness. So I think even with music, thank God we have Sirius Radio and all that stuff. We can access so many amazing things, podcasts, all kinds of things we can access. And you know what? Like, Cliff Weitzman, who does Speechify, he's a friend of ours. He does a lot about, you know, listening to books while you're walking, listening to books while you're doing other things. So you can really maximize your time and also get educated and, you know, kind of. So I feel like there's so much to be said about, but at the same time, I remember you can see them on TikTok. Obviously, I saw it on TikTok, but the way they expressed the danger that nobody knew about yet, the wisdom that they said, David Bowie and Prince both said it. This is very dangerous territory. This is not going to end well. This is, the computers are going to take, you know, they had a lot of foresight. And I think at the time, nobody cared because everybody got what they wanted.
Benefiting from it.
downloading on an iPod. I remember that. Like, oh, mm-hmm. my God.
You had Napster.
It was nuts. And that Napster got shut down. But that was, I think, for me, as coming out of a generation and into the next generation. I think, you know, that's why I think, you know, what is it? Youth is wasted on the young. Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a saying. Anyway, because you're so much wiser when you're not that I'm wise. I'm no sage by any means, but I've learned a lot along the way, just like all of us, you know, you learn a lot on your journey. Anyway, that's just my two cents. I encourage you to get the book, download the books. There are two books. I plan on getting them as well. Just on a side note, I do have some material for those of you who are struggling with borderline personality, who want some resources. Please don't hesitate to reach out to us, because I've been working really hard on trying to find good material for people in layman's terms, so that, you know, people who feel like they may have it or are dealing with somebody in, or they're in a relationship or have a parent that they think has it. You know, not everybody has access to neuropsych evals. That in a perfect world, everyone could have access to one for a specific purposeful diagnosis and treatment plan. But, you know, if you have a hunch, don't hesitate. I'm really working hard to pull that all together for you too. Again, that I believe in DBT. I believe in CBT. Cor believes in CBT. He doesn't believe in DBT. We agree to disagree. But I believe in providing people with resources and access, because I think DBT works for some people. And I just wanted to say that as well. So that's kind of a side note, but just don't hesitate to reach out, because I'm pulling together a list of that material.
Yes, I know they come every day.
Yes, they do. Yes. They get it. Yes, they get delivered every day.
As a function of technology.
As a function of technology.
And it comes full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
No, just God bless you. And we're all struggling. Everybody struggles. There's nobody who escapes struggling. And if they say they aren't struggling, they're lying.
Or in denial.
Or very boring. So that's my two cents. And
all right.
God bless you guys.
Well, thanks for allowing us to kind of delve into, a non-clinical topic, but one that we're confronted with on a daily basis, both whether in our professional lives or just is just people. It's I think at first it starts with awareness. You can't change anything until you first become aware of something. So noticing if technology is having an adverse impact on your life or your child's life. But again, it cuts so many different ways. I don't have an answer for it. I just think it's something to be mindful of, to not take for granted. We all benefit from it, but I think we all suffer from it at the same time. But I think the suffering and the deleterious effects we don't realize until in some cases it's too late. So as always, feel free to reach out. You can get a hold of me through Psychology Today. You can email me directly at psychologyunplugged@outlook.com. And you can contact me, follow us on Instagram at psychology_unplugged_, and contact me directly at 617-750-9411 East Coast Standard Time. I hope our passion is conveyed through the podcast. We do our best to give the knowledge that we have from our collective training and experiences. And we appreciate all that you guys have contributed to us. Until next week, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and I'll talk to you. Bye, guys.